The Anglican Church in the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands presents Insight, a program sponsored by the Anglican Churchman.
Mary Rodland, and I'm from the parish of Holy Cross. My technical producer is Ramon Sweeting. Welcome to Insight. This program is sponsored by the Anglican Churchmen. Some Insight news. Under the theme, the ACW celebrates 60 years of steadfast devotion, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The 60th Diamond Jubilee Thanksgiving service began this afternoon with a procession of witness followed by a mass of thanksgiving at Christ Church Cathedral. Conference sessions will be held Monday and Tuesday at Christ the King Parish Hall in Ridgeland Park West. St. George's Anglican Church, Montrose Avenue, will hold their patronal festival for and the schedule of services begins next week. On Tuesday, the 23rd of April, St. George's Day, there will be a 7 p.m. procession, sung mass, and sermon. The preacher will be Father Bradley Miller, rector of All Saints Parish, Jones Heights. On Sunday, the 28th of April, Sunday within the octave of St. George's Day, 7 a.m. mass and sermon. The preacher will be Deacon Howard Bethel Jr., assistant curate at St. Agnes Anglican Church. And then at 9 a.m., procession, solemn sung mass and sermon, and the preacher will be Father Scott Jopp, assistant curate at St. Matthew's Church. At 3 p.m., solemn evensong, sermon, outdoor procession and benediction. The preacher will be Father Roel Strawn, rector of St. Paul's Parish. St. George's Anglican Church, South Caicos, in the Turks and Caicos Islands, will hold its patronal festival services on Sunday, the 20th of April, at 3 p.m. The preacher will be Reverend Travis Fernanda, the Diocesan Youth Director. On April 25th, we celebrate the 55th anniversary to the priesthood of Canon Dr. Kirkley Sands. St. Gregory the Great, Carmichael Road, will hold a cookout on Saturday, the 27th of April, on the church's grounds. Steak and chicken dinner tickets are available at $15 and can be obtained from the church's office. Blessed be the Lord our God, by whose grace we are yet alive. Blessed be his Son, Jesus Christ, by whose rising we are set free. Father, we come together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, to offer you our worship, praise, and thanksgiving. To you belong all power and glory. You are the source of all goodness. Let our worship bear witness to your peace and saving power. Through your Spirit, may we ever rejoice in the abiding presence of our risen and ascended Lord. Amen. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold the Vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices. O Son of God, giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the Good Shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow when he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go.
Amen.
Our reading for this evening is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. So he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to get to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take like 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This ends the reading. Today is the 4th Sunday of Easter. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. Today we celebrate Christ the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. In our reading for this evening, Mark leaves us with several things for us to ponder. First, the apostles were tired. They were busy. They were not just bystanders observing Jesus' ministry. They were part of it. They participated in it. Sometimes their participation was in deeper small group discussions after Jesus' miracles and teachings. Sometimes their participation was in preparing something like the place for the Last Supper, or later in this passage, finding food for the people. Sometimes it was asking Jesus more questions. And here we see they were also going around teaching the word. As effective as Jesus was, he was still just one person. He could teach big crowds, but he was still limited to one place at a time. To make a bigger impact that would stretch to the ends of the earth, Jesus had to train others. They had to reproduce. The disciples going around teaching meant that Jesus' ministry expanded 12 times. The disciples' participation in Jesus' ministry in many ways set them apart from the listeners who came to observe. God expects all of us to participate. That is why he has given each of us a spiritual gift. Like the body, each part serves a purpose. The eye serves a different function from the ears or the mouth. And so it is with the body of Christ. So in the business of ministry, the disciples were tired. The second thing we read in this passage is that Jesus showed genuine concern for the disciples. Certainly they had faced many difficulties, as well as opposition from Satan and his minions, so Jesus told them to see the very expressions on the disciples' faces that prompted Jesus to say to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." In today's world, it is rare to find considerate people, especially people considerate to pastors, teachers, and Christian workers. They work hard to serve us, and we can help them make their lives easier and prevent burnout by caring for them and thinking what we can do for them rather than what we can get from them. But in this passage, we see Jesus as a prime example of showing compassion to others. First, to the disciples and even to the crowds. When people impose on us, our first reaction is to get angry or bitter. Yet when people didn't treat Jesus and his disciples the right way, Jesus responded with love. That is what Jesus meant in John chapter 13, verse 34, when he said, "To love others how he has loved us." He loved by putting people first and by returning good for evil. Jesus' compassion for people extended beyond their physical needs to their spiritual needs. He saw them how they really were, lost. Knowing that they were lost motivated Jesus to help them. The third thing we read from this passage is that the disciples suggested that Jesus send people away so that they could find food to eat. Jesus told the disciples to give the people something to eat. This was certainly an interesting request, and the disciples responded like we might expect them to, which was to ask if they should buy food for everyone. My guess is that Jesus was giving them an opportunity to show their faith, and they responded by saying, "Jesus, we can't feed all of these people." Isn't it amazing that Jesus often tries to get us to think beyond the physical of what we could see and touch? Most of the time, however, like the disciples, having difficult to see beyond the physical when we do not even know how we're going to pay our bills is very difficult. The fourth thing that we read is that Jesus commanded the people to sit down in groups. God is a God of order. Nothing generates chaos like free food. Jesus didn't want to stampede or trample people, so he wisely made them sit down. If they wanted to receive the benefit from his miracle, they had to do it on his terms. This is just like salvation. He offers it freely, but we must accept it on his terms, not on our own. The fifth thing that we read from this passage is that Jesus blessed the food. It is from this passage and the Last Supper passages that we get the principle of praying before we eat. While it's not commanded that we do it, it is certainly a biblical idea and an excellent way to show gratitude for what we have. Here, we once again see the same tired disciples serving the people. They were not sitting in a group of 12 being served by Jesus. So the people ate, and they were satisfied, and there were 12 baskets left over. So what are our takeaways from the gospel reading for this evening? Well, we see the humanity and divinity of Jesus on full display. He recognized the tiredness of his disciples. They had been on a mission. They returned and gave their report, and now they needed rest. So busy and so impactful was their ministry that they didn't even have time to eat. The pressures of work and the pressures of Christian ministry, whether salaried or not, can be intense. Also, as business people, we can face huge challenges on our jobs and then come home and face the needs of our family before repeating the same cycle the following day. The priests can face massive pastoral and leadership challenges, and the pressure can build and build and build. This passage shows us that Jesus does not expect us to be superhuman. He understands that we sometimes simply need a break. We need to come away and be quiet and be alone with him, to come away before we've come apart at the seams. But then we see Jesus facing the huge needs of not just his disciples, but also the massive crowds, exerting his divine power once again. He had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. Like us today, we live in a world with trouble all around us, wars, unresolved disputes, family dysfunctions, and the list goes on and on. We too are sheep that need looking after. We get sick easily. We wander off easily. We develop short fuses in times of disagreement, and we follow as a herd into danger. This passage teaches us what it means to follow a good shepherd away from danger into green pastures. God does not grow tired or weary, and he is ever there to supply resources in our hour of need. This miracle of feeding of the 5,000 is a great one. The real difficulty, though, is not understanding that Jesus could feed so many with so little, but why he required 5 loaves and 2 fish at all. He could have made food appear out of thin air, yet he chose to use the little offered as a basis for his multiplied provision. God does not need our faith, but he loves to respond to it. He does not require our prayers, but without them, how great are the comforts and mercies we lack. He does not, in his divine sufficiency, need anything at all from us, but as a father with a child, he trains us to trust him by asking us to put our hand in his hand and follow him. So my question to all of us this evening is, what 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish could we offer to Jesus? Think about it. And when we offer the little that we have to him, we can just trust in him and see how it multiplies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your care and concern for us. We pray that you will continue to be our good shepherd, leading and guiding us through the difficult times in our lives. We ask that you bless our Prime Minister, the leader of opposition, all ministers of government, and all citizens of our great country, and that you give our leaders wisdom as they follow your lead. Amen. Our next hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Now to him who is able to do conceive. By the power which is at work among us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen.
You have been listening to Insight, a presentation of the Anglican Church in the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands. If you feel the need for pastoral help, you may visit the Anglican priest in your area. Good night, and thank you for listening.
Let thy peace.